Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Cece, your life coach, your wellness coach, your health coach, and our show today is on resilience and reducing stress. And the reason why I wanted to talk about a level of reducing stress and reducing a level of upset and uproar in our life is because March has been a month of madness. And when we think about stress reducing and coping skills building, we have to talk about a level and layer of being able to reduce the madness and have some breakthroughs. And let me tell you something. I just had a moment, a true confessional moment of being super angry after I've been so calm all day long. Because I dealt with a corporation that has the audacity to have phone line issues and problems. And this is not just one corporation, it's multiple corporations. And when I tell you that we're talking about a level and layer of being able to understand and do right by a person, whether or not you feel like you should do right, you should, no matter what. Because when we're talking about a level of coping skills and the ability to be a good client and versus being a good service provider, and even if you provide a service and a business and a level of services and subscriptions, then you need to be able to have an active phone line, correct? Just like we're all in business and I'm a business coach. So nothing gets my goat more than dealing with March Madness and levels and layers of failures in several companies. And, you know, I'm not paid to sit there and audit these companies. I'm not paid to sit there and go through their nasty customer service if they have one. So when we're talking about a level and layer of coping skill, that's business. But we also got to talk about it personal, because our mindset is built on resiliency and coping, and it depends on our level of coping mechanism. Now, I've had a high level of resiliency and things like that, but over a period of time, dealing with unnecessary, unethical, corporate gaslighting BS, then outside of that, a level of unprofessional misconduct with the corporation, my patience is like this. It used to be like this. So I don't tolerate the levels of you should have this together, you should have that together, and you should have your business together versus a personal life. You know, like people be like, oh, you should have your personal life together. Okay, how? With a bunch of narcs and foolishness and constant levels of, on top of that, corporate stuff. And then on top of that, intimate partner violence. Okay, that's from here nor there. We're not going to rehash that. But we need to talk about the levels of being able to be resilient and things like that, because we talk about trauma and PTSD and life-changing events or life-altering events or life upheaval events that can affect you and how you think. So then on top of that, dealing with corporate gaslighting stuff, and then on top of that, intimate partner violence and, you know, all the stuff I told you guys that has gone on. And then, you know, you guys know I have a home-based business, home office, as well as my regular office. And during COVID, I'm being doing my remote stuff, but, you know, that doesn't stop the narc and sociopath or wealthy, well-connected narcs from their foolishness on and offline. So when we talk about a level and layer of resilience, that's what I'm talking about. You know, things that cause trauma, PTSD, and a level of recovery that has to be done. Welcome. Come on in. Also, just to remind you guys, call in live 515-602-9765. And then on top of that, if you want to do Cash App love offerings, I'm not a big fan of Cash App, but that's something I do on the side to be able to have that to separate different things. And each Cash App is for INCC Coaching, $, and then $, Don Diva Coaching, $, Team World Online, and $, Talk Radio Diva. Those are for me to be able to do business and continue to expand business during COVID. And if you'd like to give Cash App love offerings, you may do so. And that's an act in kind. And just put annotation that, hey, this is for INCC Coaching, or this is for Don Diva Coaching, or this is for Team World Online, or Talk Radio Diva. And you go to Talk Radio Diva if you want to do a generalized one, and say just put it to whatever business you want to, and I will. I'll give you a note receipt so you can do a tax write-off if you'd like to. So when we talk about the power to do more with Talk Radio Diva, that's myself, and I am a life coach, wellness coach, health coach, and divorce coach, as well as a relationship coach and also a business coach and mentor. So when I tell you that, you know, nothing gets my goat more than failures in business is because I'm a business person. I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm also a business mentor. So when I tell you I don't like bad management, I don't like bad management. When I don't like corporate gaslighting, I don't like corporate gaslighting. When I say I don't like levels of failures to do anything to fix your issues, and like we talked about full analysis earlier, So let's go over what a SWOT analysis is, because we need to talk about this in our personal life and a level of resiliency in our personal and professional life. And then on top of that, and also dealing with poisonous levels of what we call coworkers and things like that who sabotage your levels and layers of success as well. So we're going to go into all of that, and that's part of the show today. So I wanted to have this conversation because, like, I nuclear lost it earlier. I was like, you know what? This is the second corporation in the last 48 hours that has had nothing but corporate gaslighting BS, failure to have phone calls go through, or they say they're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., but how are you out here closed? It's only like 3:15 at that time, 4:15 Eastern Standard Time, but you say you close from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll wait. So you can understand why I was like, you know what? You're the second one in the last 24, 48 hours that doesn't have your stuff together, or you have logistics issues and problems, or you have phone voice over IP problems. Sounds like a management issue, and it's definitely not me. So, you know, when I tell you that you have to find a way to be able to live past this and have self-compassion and things that help free you from all that and leads to fall to a level of radical contentment, that's what I'm talking about. And when I tell you guys radical contentment, we have to find a level and layer of being content with what's going on, whether we like it or not, and whether we feel like everything's working out like it's supposed to. So when we think about this and our life is in upheaval, or we're thinking about a level and layer of stress and stress coping skills and things like that, we have to find a way to reduce the stress, but figure out where the stress is coming from and take it for what it is. So we talked about abuse the other day, and we talked about a level of where we have to do conflict resolution skills and things like that. Now, I've done everything I can to conflict resolute in a personable level and be professional about it, but you know what? Everybody has a level of self-acceptance. I self-accept that my patience is this thin. I don't have any more time or any more capacity to give the levels and layers of, like, okay, I'm going to keep dealing with your crap. Let's go to court. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to court because I'm fed up with this. So when we're talking about those levels and layers like that, and we're talking about a level of corporate gaslighting BS, and we're talking about a level and layer, I need my coffee and I need it right now, we're talking about a level of self-acceptance that I know my capacity, okay, and my level to cope with a lot of things because I've been coping with a lot of unreasonable, unlawful, illegal things outside of business that have been causing a level layer of not helping me in the capacity of recovery. So when we talk about this in the layer of when you come into my office and we're talking about a level of self-acceptance and having compassion for yourself, it frees you from feeling bad for having a natural reaction to chaotic, out-of-order, trifling BS or March Madness BS or extreme, just unnecessary, unethical levels of BS that just gets due to you. And you're just like, you know what? Beep, 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 you got me messed up, beep, 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 and all that. Because everybody has their limits, and I've reached them. And when we talk about levels of, like, intervening and finding a way to have coping skills, part of that is finding a way to affirmative say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to free myself from the substance. I'm going to heal myself and heal myself in the middle of a moment of complete total righteous upset because it's going on long enough and there needs to be a resolution and it needs to be one now. And it doesn't mean no type of sacrifice on my part, but a sacrifice on somebody else's part to have to go and deal with the problem. I'm not the problem. So when we talk about SWOT analysis, we're talking about a level of SWOT analysis, our personal life, our personal capacity, and then on top of that, our strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and then we talk about our threats. So that's what SWOT means. And so when we talk about all these different things, it's even used in business. So when we think about all these different things and epic failures to intervene or do things to go and make sure that businesses are working in a good working order. So when you have a subscription as a service and you're an actual client and you're having to deal with a business person and you're in business, it will get your goat every single time. It's like Lucy the goat. You're at this one. You're like, what is this? You know, you're just upset. And, you know, it's like there's nothing you can do. And you're thinking to yourself, like, what do I do? Do I get mad or do I try to do this to diplomatically resolve this? Or do I cope with it and the stress and then after I get done with this, then I can go nuclear the heck off, but am I going to stay there in that moment? No. What I have to do is self-acceptance. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is self-acceptance is one of the things for contentment for anybody. And when we talk about level of self-acceptance, it's how to have compassion and free yourself from that. And then on top of that, to find a level and layer of what is self-acceptance, accepting what is so challenging in your life, and self-esteem and self-confidence and self-caring yourself in that. So we're going to go over that, and then we're going to go into the other parts to it. And when we talk about conflict resolution skills, even the best person can get to a point that they are just like, you know what, I have it. It's almost like, take, honey, you just start, you get to the, first of all, for the click you claim, you know, you're just like that. So at that point, you're thinking, first of all, for the business you claim, you got me messed up in this, that, the other, and this order, and XYZ, the course report. So when we're thinking about fundamental levels of conflict resolution, it's like that, except for you're not going to hit them up with a level of Freestyle Friday and be upset. You're just going to be like, you know what? Every time I try to go and resolve things with you, sir, ma'am, everything's always a problem, and I'm tired of it. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to give me this corporate address, this phone number, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to deal with it in a legal way so that I don't have to deal with this every day, or I don't have to call you and hound you about something you should be doing right by me. So that's the same thing with your personal life. It's easier said than done. Because when we think about managing, resolving conflicts and things like that in a positive manner, when you're dealing with narcissistic people or you're dealing with levels of corporate gaslighting BS, you're going to have a hard time dealing with these applicable skills. And conflict is normal, even in a healthy part of relationships with a business or professional. But after all, two or three people or more can't be expected to agree on everything all the time, correct? So when we think about this, a relationship conflict, whether it's business professional or at the level of corporate gaslighting BS, then you have to think out, it's inevitable, but a learning point to deal with these things in a real healthy way is crucial, okay, instead of crucial conflict. So when we think about this, when a conflict is mismanaged or conflict resolutions or solutions to management is mismanaged in business, the same thing in your personal life, then you have a level of upheaval. It can harm the relationship, whether it's business professional or the level and layer of gross misconduct or negligence or malfeasance and things like that. So I wanted you guys to relate it from the business standpoint and the levels of where you have to disconnect, but not cognitive disconnect, but disconnect your emotions from logic. And sit there and say to yourself, logically, what's going on? How do I go and effectively find a way to go and get this conflict down to from 10 to, like, at least a 3 or maybe a 1? So when we think about that, we have to handle in a respectful way, in a positive way, conflict resolution. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you've been dealing with a conflict far too long, say 5 years or 3 years or maybe even 1 year, that's far too long to deal with the conflict because we're not made to be in conflict, chaos, and disorder for so long because what it does is it affects our ability to cope and then have the level of stress-reducing mechanism to activate. So when we're talking about fight or flight syndrome, we're thinking about respectful and positive ways to respond, and then conflict provides opportunity for growth, ultimately strengthening or, you know, the bond between two people or three people. Or if it's for a corporation, a level of bond between the person who is dealing with the corporation and the corporation creating the problem, which is your weakness, and then your also threat. Then you're talking about a level of your SWOT part, which is your strength, and then your opportunities. So when you're thinking about your SWOT analysis, you're thinking about this professional and personal and bringing it together. So like a little web, okay? So we got the butterfly effect here. So when you're thinking about this as a person, and we're all here flying, right? We're thinking about levels of the bond between two people in a corporation, which is the customer service rep, customer service line. But if your customer service line is not working or it's always constantly, you seem to be closed all the time, but how are you closed with your hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.? Make it make sense. So when we talk about levels of strengthening the bond between two people, it's checking them at the front door about their corporate gaslighting BS and their IP and voice over IP antics and their DevOps antics. So when we think about conflict resolution and successful conflict resolution, we have to isolate the problem, okay? And the problem is not your client. So it's also the same thing when you're in a relationship, a marriage, or anything like that. So when you think about successful conflict resolution, you have to keep your personal and professional relationship strong and growing, but you also have to keep people in check at that point in time and say, you know what, I'm going to check the BS at the front door because what I'm not going to deal with is XYZ, three course, and then the fundamentals of conflict resolution. And that is to be able to look at the conflict arrived from different areas, okay, whether it's personal, professional, or acquaintances and whatnot. So if it occurs when a person disagrees on their values or their mission, vision, or goals, or motivation, perception, and ideas, and desires, then you have to think to yourself, where is this conflict coming from? Is it self-created or is it outside external conflict and things like that? So I'll go over it with the SWOT part so you can understand it from my point of view. And then as a life coach, wellness coach, business coach, divorce coach, and things like that, you'll understand it from a personal level and a professional level at the same time. So let's just kill two birds with one stone. And again, the call-in number live is 515-602-9765. And our Cash App Love offerings are for $IMCC Coaching, $DonDivaCoaching, $TeamWorldOnline, and $TalkRadioDiva. You may also get QR barcodes at talkradiodiva.com. And you'll be able to get into power to do more, and we'll bring you new and the best content and things like that. Again, that's talkradiodiva.com and the power to do more with the Talk Radio Diva CC and your life coach, your wellness coach, your health coach. So, again, when we talk about levels and layers of transparency here, when you call 833-IMCC or 833-4MY-APPOINTMENTS for Don Diva Coaching or 833-BOOK-ME-TOO for Teen World Adolescents Young Adults, or you book your appointments at imcccoaching.com or imcc.com or dondivacoaching.com or teenworld.online for children, adolescents, young adults, you'll be able to feel confident and you're in good hands with me when we talk about these levels of things in office and we have our level and layer of our coaching and to do the things that we need to do. So to have these breakthroughs and reduce the March Madness. But if you're going to do the Square Cash App and things like that, then and book your appointment, then I need to have a two forms of ID, and I need to have either your Social Security card, and I need to have your ID or a passport, and then also another form of ID. And it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's from list A, list B, or list C of the actual documentation for records administration. I used to be a records administrator, so I just want you guys to understand that the proper records that I needed from list A, list B, list C, you can get that from IRS.gov to know what list A, list B, and list C are all posted on the website for you to be able to download it. So you'll know what you need to be sending in to me and faxing it back to that number. So with that being said, in this March Madness and the fundamentals of complex resolutions and things like that, we're talking about a level of, we're all about breakthroughs this March, okay? And so when we're thinking about this, we have to stop the madness and we have to look at the levels of breakthroughs that we need to have in our goals and meeting those goals of healing, recovery, and conflict resolution. So that's why we're going over conflict resolution, then we'll go to stress reduction in just a minute. So when we think about taking on our healing journey and things like that, and then on top of that, our healing journey and the levels of trauma, PTSD, the same thing if you've dealt with real-life experiences, death, and also levels and layers of near-death or survival from being sick or made sick or things like that, or having a level and layer of traumatic events or a series of unfortunate events that are pathological in nature or manufactured for you with dealing with narcs and sociopaths, then I want you to be able to understand the fundamentals of conflict resolution so that we can get to a point that you guys can get to a point to have a contention to say, I'm committed to get to a healing phase. And, you know, the soul is on the line of this nation. And we have to think about it. Our soul is committed to this nation and to this country. And during COVID, the levels and layers of trauma, PTSD, and recovery that we all have to go through, and the levels of upheaval of our lives, even financial, economic, or anything else, or even intimate partner, then you have to think about this. Some people's marriages are disintegrating. Some people's marriages are actually becoming more resilient and able to be fundamentally worked out. Or if it's levels and layers that some people are going to be divorced because they're dealing with a narc and they're just realizing how they don't like the person they were with. You could have been with them 15 years, 10 years, 8 years, and realize, okay, we're not compatible. I can't relate to you. So, you know, like, let's talk about getting divorced. So as your life coach, your wellness coach, your health coach, and your divorce coach, and your relationship coach, these things all encompass all of these type of things. So when we're talking about a level and layer of these type of things, we have to say to ourselves, hey, what do I do? So that's part of the journey. And so when we think about this, we have to rekindle our spark and reduce the levels of conflict, whether it's someone manufacturing, whether it's corporate gaslighting BS, or whether it's levels and layers of narcissistic levels of dealing with outside factors, including up to fraud cable companies or, you know, Ponzi scheme companies or scam companies or things like that. Like I told you guys, you have to learn how to jump over those hurdles and things like that and find a deep and personal relationship that's at the core of all these problems and issues and find a way to stress reduce. So when we think about our values and motivation and perception, ideas, and our desires, sometimes the differences look trivial, but conflict can trigger a level of upset and feelings and deep personal and relationship needs of a core level of stress reduction and problem solving. So we need to feel safe and secure and feel like respected and valued, even as a client and a customer, or on the opposite end, if you're a business person, you need to be able to provide that as a service as part of the requirement. So we have to feel respected, valued, and a need for greater closeness and intimacy or a level of professionalism or conflict resolution without causing more a level of chaos and disorder or agent of provocateur. So when we think about recognizing and resolving conflict needs and things like that, if you're out of touch with your feelings, you have to start getting in touch with your stuff, and we have to think about rec training and relationship emotive therapy and things like that, you know, cognitive therapies that help. So relationship emotive cognitive therapies and all of that. So part of that is also DBT, and that's dialectical brain training, and rewiring and reprogramming your brain to get back into a level pentameter so you can be in touch with your feelings but be able to reduce the stress, or if you're so stressed that you can only pay attention to the limited number of emotions that you have and capacity to respond. So when we think about all of this, you won't be able to understand your own needs, but you need to be able to understand the needs of others and be able to respond appropriately. And it's not easy when it's habitual. And it's not easy when you have reactive abuse syndrome or if you're being corporate gaslit and abused on a regular basis, then you get to the point you have no more patience for customer service and call centers or bad solutions and team management or bad managers. So when we think about those levels of workplace conflict and differing needs, often the heart of bitter disputes or bitter battle. Or sometimes you might not even be bitter over it. You're just tired of the corporate gaslighting BS or unprofessional misconduct. So then we're talking about two different levels of transparency here. So when we think about what is the deep-seated levels, if you don't understand your deep-seated needs, then how can you conflict resolute? How can you be fully present and be able to reduce the levels of stress and chaos and disorder? And we got agents of provocateur in corporations or outside in personal relationships or what we call intimate partner relationships or acquaintance relationships, then you need to be looking at the deep-seated needs. You have to have a hard level of communication so you won't have a hard time communicating with others. And then on top of that, staying in touch with really troubling you and not getting off to a tangent. So I want you guys to understand that. For example, couples often argue, and we think about petty differences, especially when the petty differences are becoming major petty differences, or they're becoming major dispute-causing petty differences, or levels of unlawful legal petty differences that have come to a point of contention, or federal levels of petty differences or disputes that are coming to a point that they're affecting you grossly and negatively. I've been through all that with a petty woman and a petty man, and I'm the type of person, if I have to be a petty Pendergrass at that, then I'm not a rude, petty woman. I'm a person who's not going to play with those type of games, and I'll give you the petty prize that you're looking for. Play stupid, petty games, you'll get stupid, petty prizes. So when we think about this, when you think about hanging a towel out to dry, right, it's just you have to think about what are the parts of that towel. You got to look at the fibers, the quality of the fiber, and you have to look at when you're hanging that towel. So it's not hanging I want to step back from this and I want to call a truce. There is no truce once you go to a certain point. So when you think about hanging up that towel, you want it to get dry. So you want to make sure that Pam filed it up and put on the rack and hang it to dry like a towel rack. So it's just like a petty person making petty games and doing out of order trifling agent provocateur BS. Then you get petty price. So when we talk about all this stuff, rather than that, it's what's really what's bothering us. Not the levels and layers of what the problem is, but it's becoming a level and layer of other agents of provocateur or levels of what we call environmental or levels of physiological stress that's being inducted because of the levels and layers of failures to communicate or properly handle or call center handle in a professional standpoint, but outside of that, in a personal standpoint, failure to communicate on an intimate level. So when we think about that, we think about what's really bothering us. So we cited all the issues in hanging out that towel, right? The same way we do when we talk about a level of business. And same with hanging them out to dry like a towel rack with unethical corporate gaslighting and misconduct. So now we've gotten to the point in the nitty-gritty of what's bothering us. So it's not 3, 2, 1, what's wrong with me? It's more or less like, okay, in personal relationships, a lack of understanding in that retrospect is understanding different needs that can result in distance, arguments, or breakups, or divorce. So when we think about workplace, we think about conflict as differing needs that are often at the heart of bitter disputes. So in that sense, you can be bitter of those disputes, or you can get to a level of, I'm not bitter, I'm just sick of it, and I need a resolution. So when you recognize the legitimacy of conflicting needs, whether it's personal or professional, it opens the pathway to a creative level of problem solving, team building, and improved relationships, and that means professional or private. So, and if you have an overlapping of you're dealing with your spouse or you're dealing with your fiance and they're in certain industries and things like that, then you have another layer of conflict resolution and another layer of stress reduction in order to get to a conflict resolution and to have a hard communication level of not making communication hard, but reducing the hardship in the communication. And going from a scarcity mindset and communication skills and failures or getting to a point of abundance mindset and communication skills and problem solving. So when we think about this, when you resolve a conflict and disagreement quickly and painlessly, mutual trust will flourish instead of mistrust and a level of layers of upset. So when we think about successful conflict resolution, it depends on your ability to manage stress well, remaining alert and calm. That's not easy when you deal with passive-aggressive people or toxic people or toxic corporations. Yes, that is. Because when you're thinking about a level and layer of toxic corporation, it's just like a toxic spell. Eventually, you have to look at staying calm. You can accurately read and interpret verbal and nonverbal communication, including nasty tone from a phone. I'll give you an example. I called Walmart one time, and Adriana wanted to play victim. And I'm like, ma'am, you're no victim. Y'all are playing at the local level with my groceries. And y'all have been doing this multiple times at the local level. In fact, a couple have been stolen. you're also making sure that you're causing chaos and disorder, and then I'm forced to call you. And then on top of that, y'all have dropped my stuff off to the wrong house multiple times, and it's not the first time. You know, and then the girl wanted to play victim, and I was like, ma'am, you're no victim, and I'm talking to her hoarse voice, so how can you feel like you're anybody talking to you like that? I said, because I'm telling you, I'm matching your same nasty behavior. And she got mad and tried to play victim. I was like, ma'am, don't do this, because most of y'all have done this, including Phyllis and Beverly and several others that need to be out of there, and Karen and, you know, several others, and what else was the other one that did that? So, you know, and it's like when you have ample documentation of this as a corporate gaslighting antics. Same thing with Ring Central. I had to deal with them, and they're nasty, unethical corporation antics and things like that. So, and we're talking about levels and layers of dealing with Card.com and their antics and their buffoonery and playing on the phone because it's not 7 p.m. In fact, it is 4:35, 5:35, so it's nowhere near Eastern Standard Time of 7 p.m. So why are you playing voice over IP antics? So when we're talking about corporate unethical misconduct and levels of corporate gaslighting, it's the same thing with calling a phone for Square Cash App, and they don't really have a phone line number, but you call this number and then all you get is a whole call and use the app for what, but you're supposed to have a corporate phone number and I need to be able to call it. Same thing with levels and layers of the antics I had to deal with multiple times. And so when we're talking about layers of fixing your company, I've SWOT analysis with Square and I've also documented it online so that they can understand that I'm not a chronic complainer. All I'm trying to tell you is that there's a lot of conflict and you corporations need to stop being shell companies. You need to have adequate staff. You need to hire on people. If you can't do that, then you need to restructure your company and you need to find a better way to handle it or shut down for a minute so you can figure it out. Because what you're doing is getting my money, but you're delivering to support quality service. You get what I'm saying? So when we talk about these in professional standpoints, that's what I'm talking about. So when we're talking about levels and layers of corporations resulting and levels of when they finally get somebody on the phone who wants to act as nasty as they possibly can on the phone or play a victim on the phone, then that's corporate misconduct. So when we think about controlling our emotions and our behavior, when we're dealing with somebody like that, that's the same thing with dealing with a relationship. When your relationship is going downhill and you've got a narcissistic person who's undiagnosed but a sociopath, a pathological narc, or what we call a toxic, extremely toxic, passive-aggressive person, it's just as bad as somebody who's narcissistic, sociopathic, because both of them can erode your resolve to control your emotions and your behavior. So you've seen grossly reacting to a level of insidious abuse or small levels of what we call micro-macro-aggressions until you erupt, and then they're like, you see, they're the problem. No. Third, what you did as a corporate level of gaslighting, provoking misconduct, gross negligence, or gross malfeasance, or gross failure to communicate, or failure to have somebody here manning these phones, that's not my problem. That's your problem, ma'am, sir. Make it make sense, please. So when we think about this, pay attention to the feelings that are being expressed. Because when you operate from a place of butthurt, or you operate from a place of narcissism or toxic or passive aggression on the phone, a person can hear it, especially if they've been trained in call center environments and do simulated calls and have dealt with the same thing or have been in business for a number of years. And as a disabled person, I don't have the capacity to deal with your crap because I'm already disabled and, you know, I was born this way. So, ma'am, sir, get your act together because I'm not the one. I'm just not the one to deal with when you think about this because I expect things to work because with me, I'm Asperger's syndrome high functioning. And I tested gifted at 8. But the emotional capacity sometimes to deal with people's crap gives me a level of layer, why aren't you doing it like this? Why aren't you fixing it like this? Because nobody emotionally wants to deal with this because whereas other people might have this level of fuse to be like this, my fuse is like this. Although my fuse used to be like this, but because of dealing with pathological abuse, narcissistic abuse, and then on top of that, pathological, toxic people who may not be narcissists, but they are very extremely toxic, or they're on the Richter scale of borderline to the point that it's just like, bro, are you a narc or what? It's like, you know, back about sociopath, the narc. You know, are you toxic, passive aggressive, or not? You know, and so when we're talking about levels and layer of controlling our emotions and our behavior, we have to find a level of verbal and nonverbal communication and also internalize it and think to ourselves, I've got to develop the coping skills to deal with people like this because those people are undiagnosed and they're running around here needing to be diagnosed and most of them are sitting on a phone line saying, hey, welcome to such and such, this is so-and-so, and then the minute they have a problem, then they got an attitude. And it's like you're speaking from a level and layer of butthurt from what I told you other than trying to go and resolve the conflict instead of communicating effectively and professionally. It's like, where do they do this at? So when we think about the level of communication or your needs about without threatening or frightening or punishing, that means when a corporation is doing that, threatening, frightening, or punishing a person for having a conflict that they're creating, then there's a level layer of make it make sense. You're the problem, not me. So why are you treating me like I'm the problem and you're threatening and you're punishing me because I'm addressing what you're doing? And then your tone is nasty, it's all get out, and then you're mad because I'm correcting you about it. wait. Isn't that what you're supposed to do in a conversation? Because I listen to people always criticize me, and I take it, and I try to improve every day, so why can't you? And you're in the corporate level of you should be able to handle it. Because weren't you trained 6 to 8 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, 16 weeks max to be able to deal with this? So what's your problem? I'll wait. So when you think about this, I mean, think about paying attention to the feelings being expressed as well as the spoken words of others. You have to be inclined to listen to not respond, but to effectively communicate after that person stops talking. You don't talk over them. I'll give you a prime example. I had an intimate partner in violence, and I called the police department, right? The Tulsa Police Department. And it's been a terrorist effort going on for a number of years. Okay, so I'm calling Deputy Barney Fife again. I'm like, hey, I got this vandalism in my house yet again. What do you plan on doing about it? And then they're up here talking over me. I'm like, ma'am, stop talking to me. Sir, stop talking to me. Ma'am, stop talking to me. Sir, stop talking to me. Ma'am, sir, stop talking over me. You hear I'm holding my voice box, but you hear the difference. Ma'am, sir, stop talking over me. Ma'am, sir, stop talking over me. So I'm having to escalate each time because you want to keep playing passive aggressive, nice, nasty, and sometimes downright belligerent to me, but then you want to turn around and say I'm being belligerent, but I'm telling you stop talking over me. Ma'am, stop talking over me. Ma'am, sir, stop talking over me. Ma'am, sir, stop talking over me. So you see the inflection in my voice? If I have to raise my voice over this octave and you're escalating, then you're the problem, not me. So when we're talking about beware of respectful of differences, and then by avoiding disrespectful words or actions or passive aggressive actions. So let's talk about healthy and unhealthy ways of managing and resolving conflict. See, and this is where we have to get into the point of conflict triggers strong emotions that can lead to hurt feelings, disappointment, or discomfort. And then when handled in an unhealthy manner or having toxic levels of people in management or a level upfront level customer service and you're talking about a dispatcher, can I help you? Ma'am, are you having a bad day today? Are you having a bad day today? Can I call you for an emergency? I mean, this is not making any sense. I'm going to need you to get some act right or quit your job because you don't like it. And I don't like what I'm going through. So, sir, ma'am, could you fix your attitude before you talk to me? Please, thank you. So we're talking about those type of levels of unhealthy mannerisms that these people have, and then when you correct them about it, then they're operating from a place of butthurt, and then you're just like, I didn't do anything to you. In fact, I'm going to spend my time to go and contact you, and then you got this ass attitude. Oh, okay. Nothing I was going to go. So when we think about this, when you cause irreparable risk or implicit bias, like it happened to me, then you're talking about levels and layers of resentment, and then on top of that, breakups of the levels of communication, much less a breakup between me and the intimate partner violence inclined person, but you're also causing a level and layer of lawsuit, and then it's a two-party lawsuit because not only did you grossly, negligently sit there and mistreat me, but then you tried to misdocument all paperwork, then you sat there and lied on me, you provoked and gaslit and proceeded to do that when there was continued terrorism, domestic, and foreign. I'll wait. So if I'm the victim of your narcissistic foolishness or my partner's intimate partner violence or your level of toxic shame, toxic blame, and victim shame because you failed to do your job, but you want to have an ass attitude, then you want to misdocument so you can cover up all the things that you did. It's the same thing with corporations. So make it make sense. Are you operating from a place of trust or trust building, or are you going to reduce the risks or resentments or the levels of layers of do we need to break up with each other because you're obviously a horrible corporation and ill-formatted and ill-built. And then on top of that, you're a shell company and a Ponzi scheme because obviously you're not doing what you're supposed to do, but you're constantly testing the waters with me and I'm not the one to be played with because I already put my toe in there and I got burnt once. And I'm like, okay, ow. And then now I'm like, oh, dude. I'm not going for that. So we have to get to a point of getting past the disappointment, discomfort, but I tried to handle this in a professional manner and standpoint, but you're corporate gaslighting and it's March Madness, and I'm not trying to be made mad on purpose. And then I have intimate partner violence, a wealthy, well-connected narc who likes to play deck-deck narc, attacked by sociopath, and then even post-separation abuse and post-separation violence and contacting all corporations and keeping up the escalation. So make it make sense. I'm not getting anywhere with this because you're constantly creating conflict and agent provocateur chaos and disruptions to my life and productivity. So I want you guys to understand that from that point of view, and then it increases our understanding of one another and builds trust back, and it strengthens our relationship bonds, and then on top of that, a love and layer of not gross misconduct or malfeasance or miscarriage of justice or what we call a level of conflict resolution, solutions, and management, or SWOT analysis, all your company failures, which means it could be a logistics issue, phone or voice over IP issues or misdirects or DevOps issues and constant levels and layers of failures in a corporation or constant levels and layers of failures of intimate partner, and especially this intimate partner, domestic terrorism, provoking gaslighting and emotional abuse and torment. So when we think about unhealthy responses to conflict as characterized by inability to recognize and respond to matters of great importance to the person. So when we're talking about this as a professional, and this is a business hat, we've got my business hat on, and we're looking at a level of recognizing and responding, explosive, angry, hurtful, resentful actions, or passive-aggressive actions that can get to the point that it can cause explosive, angry, hurtful, resentful reactions from constant levels and layers of not getting the conflict resolved, or withdrawal of love, or resulting in rejection, isolation, or shaming, or fear of abandonment, or levels of failures to intervene, failures to interview, or failures to do your job. That's what I dealt with. So when we're talking about a level of abandonment of their job or their duties, then we're talking about expectation of bad outcomes, because every time you deal with a corporation, you're expecting a piss-poor customer service, nasty attitude, lazy, passive-aggressive, narcissistic people, or you're talking about people who are toxic, passive-aggressive, hate their job, and they're passing it on to me, but they don't want to deal with conflict because it's been going on too long, and they don't want to even read the notes. Then the fear of avoidance or conflict or just resolving to just saying, you know what, just give me my money, I don't want to deal with you, or doing a breakup of the corporation myself because I don't want to deal with you or your nasty management or your nasty staff. Same thing with dealing with a nasty person you're dating or a pathological abuser or a post-separation abuse narc, sociopath, psychopath, or red flag person who continues to do non-conducive things. So when we think about that, a healthy response to conflict are characterized by a capacity to recognize and respond to important matters or levels of paying attention, reading, and saying to yourself, reading is fundamental, let me read these notes, or let me brief myself one moment, ma'am or sir, let me take a look at these notes, and then I'll go be back on the phone. So it'll be just like this when I tell you, hey, be right back. So when I tell you that I've done this and I'm saying be right back, then that's telling you, hey, sir, ma'am, I've read the notes. Okay, well, I'm right back. So it looks like we need to make sure that I've taken a break, I've taken the time to go look at the notes, and then on top of that, I've done this. Ma'am, sir, let me take some notes. Let me take a look at the notes and everything else. I'll be right back. Give me one moment. I'm going to put you on a brief hold. So if you're seeing that in real time like I did it, then you should be able to do that on the phone. So you've done that part, and then you're looking at readiness to forgive and forget or let bygones be bygones or respond to appropriately to the matters that are at hand. And if it's multiple matters, then you need to take the time to read the notes. It's just that simple. Then the ability to seek compromise and avoid punishing the person for addressing your behavior. Because sometimes in a professional organization that I would think that you would want to run professionally, you would look at it from your solutions and management staff part, and you would look at the level of your grunt, your first layer of communication, which is your customer service agent, to say, hey, this person has had multiple complaints. Can we address this at the helm? What are we going to do? So you have to look at your strengths and weaknesses. Is it your customer reliant service agent or is it your solutions management? After a while, after they report the same issue and you're failing to intervene, you're failing to interview, and you're failing to go and document accurately. So then we're talking about effective communication skills. Then we're thinking about healthy responses to this. And then on top of that, the capacity to recognize and respond to important matters. And then on top of that, support the interests of both parties and get both needs met and then move on. So that's what you would want to do. So we think about the four key conflict resolution skills, and we think about the togetherness and the four skills that fill the fifth skill that is greater than the sum of the parts, which is the ability to take the levels of contract that you have as a customer service agent or a business manager, or if it's in an intimate partner relationship, then you're talking about a level of let's resolve this at a level of taking it in stride, resolving the differences in a way that builds trust and confidence, and then a good relationship to be maintained, or resolve it in a level of layer, oh, we can't resolve this issue, we need to part ways, professionally, personally, and then intimate partner. So when we think about those, we think about the conflict resolution skills of quickly relieve the stress. We think about to rapidly and reliably reduce the stress and relieve the stress that's on the senses, the sight, the touch, the sound, the taste, and smell, and each person responds to a sensory input. So if it's over the phone, we're talking about the sound, and then we're talking about the level of how you're touching me through the phone with your voice. So therefore, I'm inferring how your attitude, you're being nice, nasty. Well, sorry you feel that way. Okay, well, I'm sorry you're being a nasty attitude, smart mouth, too. from matching you with the same passive-aggressive tone that you got with me. So then don't you think that if I'm telling you that you got a nice, nasty attitude and your tone is disgusting and it's disrespectful, then maybe you would think to yourself, oh, it's not personal. This person is considering how I sound. Maybe I need to correct how I sound instead of being ignorant thing. And that can't count the problem. Okay, well, you are being problematic. You need to watch your tone. You know? So when we're talking about that, the same thing with the level of layer of talking to someone in a relationship, in a marriage. You don't talk down to someone and then expect them to go respond to you appropriately because they're going to be like, fuck, what are you talking to? You're not the right one. Oh, yeah. You know? And so when you're thinking about this, you think about the senses and different sensory input, you need to find the things that are soothing to you. And if it's soothing to actually get to a manager instead of a customer service agent, or if you have a failure of having management and management solutions team and staff at that particular corporation, then you need to get it together and stop playing with your clients. Because the clients are sick and tired of the phones being off the hook, or you're playing a voice over IP antics, and I don't want to have to deal with that. I want you to resolve the problem, because I'm not going to keep going through this, because I'll ask you not to tell everybody, hey, don't do business with them because I'm sick of them. This is my experience with. And bad news travels first, then it does bad, the good news. So when we think about this, recognize and manage your emotions. So part of that is you won't be able to communicate effectively and smoothly over disagreement if you continue to have a level of chaos and conflict or agents of provocateur. So when we're thinking about this, you have to get connected to these feelings and don't be afraid of strong emotions. Find a way to conflict resolute and recognize when you're having a strong emotion. And sometimes taking a break and pause and just saying, you know what? Let me breathe. You know, and at that moment, you'll be able to go and resolve and face those differences differently. Improve your nonverbal communication skills. And then on top of that, the middle of the conflict, paying close attention to the person's nonverbal and verbal cues. And then on top of that, figure out what the person's really trying to say and respond in a manner and a tone of voice or reassuring touch over the phone or a concerned facial expression can go a long way. But a nasty facial expression or rolling of the eyes does not work out well. I've had them do it at Walmart with their nasty attitude, smart mouth over there in Mobile Highway. And then they also have a level of unconcern and just, I hate my job and I hate you. Why are you here? And it's like, I'm putting money in your pocket and I'm paying your actual paycheck and I'm actually your original shareholder because your shareholders wouldn't have money if it wasn't for me buying from your crappy company. Yeah. And the same thing I've told eBay and I've told several other companies because I'm like, listen, y'all always have these issues, but you never resolve it. Then you want to make the client out to be the problem when you've had epic levels of complaints and you've had 2 and 3 years of complaints and you continue to still have the problem logistically or issues with your customer service who likes to act as ignorant as they possibly can on the phone. And it's like, make it make sense, please. So it's the same thing with a marriage. After a while, you get exhausted. So you have to sometimes use humor and play to deal with challenges because if you don't, you'll end up upset. And then you have to reduce the tension and anger and reframe the problems from a place of humor. And then the situation the perspective. And then the conflict may equally become opportunity for greater connection and intimacy or greater levels of ROI, return on investment. And sometimes your client will actually buy more with you if you resolve the problem in an effective manner, not ineffective and being an agent of chaos and provocateur. So, you know, make the relationship your priority. And these are tips to manage and conflict resolution and stress reduction. And then pick your battle and be willing to forgive and forget. But sometimes it's unforgivable and it has to go to a point of resolution legal. And then on top of that, know when to let some things go because every fight doesn't need a dog in a fight. And sometimes you just have to say, you know what, just give me my money out. I'm going to leave because I'm not going to deal with you anymore because you're just the worst type of formatted company I've ever seen. You're just epically just the worst type of customer service and y'all got the worst type of attitudes and I'm not here to deal with it. And so I'm giving my money, please. Thank you. I got time. So when we think about this, fair fighting and ground rules for fair fighting and conflict resolution, remaining calm, expressing feelings in words and not action, and being specific about what is bothering you and then finding an action and not a reaction. Avoid accusations, don't generalize, and avoid make-believe or over-exaggerating or interventing a complaint, but make sure it's accurate in the levels of chaos that's going on. And I have been accurate in all my complaints about certain things because it's overlapping with intimate partner and then several other people that this person's connected to. So dealing with a wealthy, well-connected intimate partner, and I had 3 of them back who were just god-awful people, but they were doing narcissistic things and doing what they want to do. It grossly negatively affected business and economic and financial. And then now that she's thinking of building back business, that's why I have the cash app love offerings. And then on top of that, 4 levels and layers of, you know, if you send in those different things, you can send it to the address, and I'll be able to receive money orders or bank cashier's checks and things like that, and I put it towards growing the business. So when we think about it, don't stockpile a lot of grievances. Address them at the time that they happen so that it doesn't end up being a nuclear blow-up. or things like that, and then avoid clamming up, because you have to be able to talk and tell people exactly what's going on to resolve the problem. And then you have to look at this in a mental health capacity, and then on top of that, a level layer of managing conflict and for being a better listener. Listen to the reasons the person is giving you, and then on top of that, make sure you understand the person is telling you certain things from his or her point of view and for them that perception. So if somebody says you're acting stupid, they're not calling you stupid. They're saying you're acting stupid. Or if you're being nasty and narcissistic, they're not calling you narcissistic and nasty. They're just saying from your way you're talking to me, your tone, it is very nasty and unacceptable, and I'm not being belligerent in telling you so. You just continue to want to escalate. Sir, man, stop talking to me. Sir, man, stop hanging up the phone. Sir, man, stop hanging up the phone after the 7 or 8 times. So now you understand what these corporations have done in intimate partner violence. Yes, I had to go through. And then the level to encourage a level of dialogue that is absolutely encouraging. And I understand what has upset you. I want you to know what is it you're really hoping for and what can I do to make that outcome happen. And then on top of that, clarifying, can you say more about that, and could you express a little bit more about that so I can get a little better understanding? So if you're a dispatcher, then you should have an ask at it. Can I help you? Okay, you can help yourself to a new job because you're horrible. Then on top of that, is that the way it usually happens? So then you can get the forensic information that you need to go indicate, I need to look at these notes because maybe this is a chronic complaint that's going on, and it's not a chronic complainer, it's actually an unresolved conflict. Not like somebody who makes false release reports and does all this false witnessing when they knew nothing what was going on. I went through that too. So when we think about restating, it sounds like you weren't expecting that to happen. It sounds like this was not something that you actually had or thought was going to really happen to you. So therefore, let me look at what we need to do. I can imagine how upsetting that must have been for you. So then you look at the validation. I really appreciate that we're talking about this issue. Let me find a way to resolve this in a professional manner. And from a professional standpoint, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes either. So when you think about this, I'm glad we're trying to figure this out, and let's go forward with this. Don't you think that's professional manner that I've responded? So if I've tried to do that many times until it gets to an escalation, and then you want me to sit there and play victim, then you don't have a leg to stand on. So when we think about these things, we have to look at skill one, which is stress relief. Then we think about emotional awareness, nonverbal communication, playful communication, and then levels and layer of conflict resolution, and then raising emotional intelligence. And then we have to look at that from a level of EQ Central, and that teaches you about a level of emotional intelligence and being able to be intelligent enough to know when to listen to not respond, but listen to resolve. So we think about this, fair fighting to resolve conflicts and conflict resolution, and then we're talking about conflict resolution and resolving conflict rationally and effectively, and then also resolving conflict constructively and respectfully, and then on top of that, effective communication skills. And these are all things that I'll give you that you'll be able to get from me, and I'll be able to put it out there for you. So that's that. So when we get into a layer of stress reduction, let's look into that, because a lot of people don't understand what that means. Because stress reduction is something of a level of managing it and finding a way for us to understand that stress has to be reduced. At some point, a person who's causing the stress or a company that's causing the stress, either the company needs to reformat and reformulate, get new managers or new staff, or if you're in a relationship, you can't get a new husband every time you stress, but you have to find a way to conflict resolute to the point that you can no longer do that, then you replace the husband. So we're going to talk about levels of stress management and activities to reduce your stress. So be appropriate and adaptive for anybody from a level of being an adult or a level and layer of being an adolescent or a child. It goes for everybody, including in marriages. So when we think about this, it gives you a level of meditation, an effective way to practically understand how to mediate, meditate, and then on top of that, resolve in a level of manner of practice that helps you professionally, personally, and then under Eastern religions, identify a level of the following things that help you with conflict resolution and stress reduction. So when you think about this, we think about levels of practice to do those different things, like closing your eyes and relating and breathing and saying to yourself, just one moment, let me breathe in, let me breathe out, and then begin to open your eyes to what's going on. And when we think about how stress affects us, we think about it affects us in the manner of a level and layer of our response, and our response sometimes can be a level and layer of how do I reduce the stress and the stress-inducing causing. How stressful things can affect us is that a negative thinking, aspirations, and things like that go downhill. And then on top of that, you have to think about the words that you might be using, and it causes the negative thinking and negative outcome. So when we're talking about that, we're talking about a level and layer of stress buildup and things like that, and being able to find a level and layer of eliminating stress. So when we're talking about that, we're talking about a level and layer of this, which is stress can be so far inducing that it affects your mental health, your emotional health, your response, and then getting stress away from your life, which is, you know, blocking the behaviors that are keeping out, you know, keeping the levels and layers of your stress alive. And then on top of that, a level of dealing with panic attacks or levels of visualization that we have. And then, you know, to have a level of stress management. So when we think about that, we can talk about a level layer that in work, we think about the fact that, in fact, stress is more dangerous than what we thought. And you probably heard that you can raise your blood pressure. It can increase the likelihood of stroke or a distant future or a level of heart attack or a level of congestive heart failure or a level of bronchial issues. So when you think about all of this, you think about the average adult 65 years of age has either had stress-inducing or anxiety-inducing or a level of mental decline or mental health cognitive, and anxiety and stress is almost twice in men as it is in women, but we're finding that women are neck to neck as we're having role reversal in society. And the major symptoms of stress and anxiety and levels of disorders, it accounts for 80% of illnesses across indirectly either behavioral health, mental health, or a level of combination of physical health deterioration. So we think about chronic stress can interfere with the normal function of a person, and it's proven that stress individuals increase vulnerability of catching levels of illness and susceptible to allergic reaction, autoimmune disorders and disease, cardiovascular disease, and things like that. And so, you know, doctors are agreeing that chronic stress, the functions of the body are non-essential to survival, but it's the digestive system, immune system that shut down, and this is why people are sick, because a lot of the stress is coming from a lot of chaos, disorder, and provocateur. And the same thing can be with stress of being a part of your daily life. So I wanted to go over that right quick. And then on top of that, a level of stress soothers and being able to soothe yourself through stress and finding a way to get to a point that you can reduce the levels of conflict, chaos. And then on top of that, that you'll be able to reduce it to the point that you're going to be able to see yourself in a level of not being stressed and the psychology of stress. And then on top of that, from the buildup of stress and being able to come down from it. So just give me one moment. I'll be right back. So when we think about stress management tips, when we're talking about levels and layers, keep in mind that stress isn't a bad thing, okay? And stress motivates us to work towards solving our problems and reframing thoughts and to view stress as a way to motivate us and motivate us to do better. So when we think about this, it is a tool for us to be able to either reduce conflict or find a level of better communication skills or stress reduction. So when we think about this, a negative symptom of stress is the levels and layers of agents of chaos and disorder. So we think about it, we have to find a negative symptom that is associated with it, and that's a stress response. So talking about your problems, even if they aren't being resolved, talking about the stressors, even if you don't resolve them, helps with hormone release and levels and layers in your body that reduce the negative feelings associated with stress, and then validating that there is a stress there, and time spent talking about it to friends and loved ones is valuable. And then on top of that, or even in a professional standpoint, but in a professional manner of having communication skills, even when you have a lot on your plate. Then prioritizing your responsibilities. Focus on completing a task first. Having too many to-dos can be stressful, even if none of them are big, but beginning to realize knocking out small tasks to clear up your mind or a small task to go and break down those stressors and begin to knock down each one by one and start to reduce the level of stress and chaos. And then on top of that, focus on the basics. Stress can be a harmful cycle, and after a while, it becomes normalized, and where basic needs are being neglected, which leads to more stress. So make a focal point to your basic needs, such as eating well, keeping a healthy sleep schedule, and then other forms of self-care. And then don't put all your eggs into one basket. People who are involved in one aspect or another in their life to struggle to deal with stress, that area is being threatened. So we talked about SWOT analysis. You have to look at the threat, balance your time and energy between the several areas, such as career, family, friendships, marriage, or end of a marriage, or end of a relationship, or end of a dating situation, or dating conflict, or personal hobby. So set aside time for yourself. So you have to think for yourself, personal time only gets moved to the bottom of the list when things are becoming drastic or hectic. However, personal time is neglected and most of the time in a high level of conflict and infliction or a level of torment, chaos, disorder, or domestic disputes. So you have to set aside time to relax and have fun every day, regardless of how your life is going, without interruptions or chaos and disorder. and then keep things in perspective at this point. So in the heat of the moment, little problems tend to feel bigger than what they are. And then take a step back and think about how important stressors are in a broader context. So then when you think about this in a week, a month, a year, or a couple of days, writing your stressors will help you develop a healthier perspective and doing a mind map for that. So when we think about the levels and aggregators of stress and how that happens, improper time management, dehydration, lack of sleep, all work, no play, you know, things like that that can happen. Then we think about levels and layers of, you know, stress is something that's telling us to deal with it from within and a time that, that may not be time in your favor, but it might be in the favor of other people who think they have time to continue to create stress and conflict and chaos and disorder, whereas you don't need that. But the reality is of it that stress in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing, except when it's prolonged or extreme or tormenting in nature, or it's environmental, or it's a level of intimate partner, or a combination of all of the above, or in professional levels of misconduct or levels of agent provocateur. And then on top of that, difficulty occurs where stress becomes more difficult to deal with. So I wanted you guys to understand that from that. And then on top of that, a level and layer of, you know, what to do against the stress buildup and finding levels and layers to be able to help yourself and be able to help yourself to go build yourself a further level of resilience. So when we talk about coping skills and coping with stress and things like that, that is the next part. We think about coping with stress and we say to ourselves, and this is the affirmation we're going to close out with, I cope with stress. I am a strong and resilient person. I maintain a cheerful attitude and rely on my inner capabilities and my strength. I am a person I can handle anything that comes my way, whether it's something like a hardship or anything that causes me to have a scarcity mindset. But what I do is I move from that scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. I relax my mind and body. I slow down. I scan my body for signs of tension. I massage my neck. I stretch my limbs. I replace fearful and angry thoughts with curiosity and forgiveness, or in a place of understanding if I cannot forgive, or a place of healing if I cannot get from healing, then a place of coping. I take care of my health, regular workouts to help me reduce the stress and boost my mood. Restful sleep and good nutrition help me to be able to do that. And then on top of that, stay in peak condition so I can tackle challenges from work or from home or a combination of both. I engage in soothing activities. I develop hobbies and a needlework and a landscape of painting a pretty picture, even though it might be an ugly environment or a level of physiological, environmental, or intimate partner, or a level of corporate gaslighting things that happen that alter my life or grossly negatively affected my life. I share my feelings. I let my family and friends know or what's going on inside of me, and I also help that to purge and begin the process of understanding from a point of listening to not respond, but listening to improve. I share my feelings and have the courage to be vulnerable and open up and begin to flush stress, reduce stressful coping mechanisms and gaining and building those skills. And then on top of that, to make my burdens lighter, and I share them with others who care about me in order to teach them ways to help with, to cope with stress. So I cope with stress. So when I run into obstacles, I try to look at the humorous side of the situation. Laughter keeps long lines and traffic jams easier to bear. I establish my priorities. I have become overworked by focusing on my resources, and I avoid being overworked, and I become a level of calm, a level of self-care and mindfulness and being present and me having the abundance mindset and the majesty of staying calm while I'm being going through stress, and I cope with stress. I cut my to-do list down to reasonable size. I meditate and I pray. I connect with divine levels of what we call ascended masters, are people who have a level of mastery of the majesty of being calm. And then on top of that, I remind myself that I am not alone. And then on top of that, today I take a positive approach to dealing with these challenges and I turn a stressful situation into opportunities to learn and grow. And that's how I cope with stress. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand how it is important to deal with stressfulness constructively. And ask yourself these questions. Do I deal with stress constructively? Am I using constructive criticism or passive-aggressive toxic of shame and blame and intimidation and validation? Am I turning that around for a choice to look at things from a different perspective to teach someone how to do better with me? Then yes, I do. So when you think about this, what are some benefits of experiencing stress? I told you the experiences that I've had in profession and dealing with unprofessional misconduct, agents of provocateur and chaos, workplace violence, intimate partner violence, then provoking and gaslighting. When I mean violent, meaning verbally violent, emotionally violent, and then times that need to passive-aggressive violence. Or playing nasty out-of-order trifling games that will get them fired in 86 out of the contract based on those gross misconduct and malfeasance. So when we think about this, how can I remind myself to stay calm under pressure? just remind yourself that your blood pressure is not worth it going through the roof and having aneurysms and heart attacks and strokes and liver and kidney function to failure and discomfort and things like that from chronic stress and chronic fatigue. Do you want to get to a point that you can live a long time by de-stressing, and sometimes that's removing stressful people or agents of chaos and provocateur and things like that out of your life. So that's how I cope with stress. So I wanted you guys to get that affirmation today, and I told you that's how I run to do that. And then on top of that, let's talk about coping skills, and then we'll be able to close out in a good fashion and manner. So when we talk about coping skills, what is that? We think to ourselves about reflecting on our feelings. We think about clarifying a level of coping to the manner that we're not getting upset and angry all the time. And then we think about loss of structure and things like that pre-pandemic. And we think about COVID. We think about anxiety, fear of unknown. And we think about reduced levels of stimulation, which means economic levels of outside stimuli or domestic abuse, domestic disputes, or corporate disputes. And we think about loss and reducing the stimulation or stimuli of that. And then we think about lack of connection. We think about lack of connecting with that person or validation. So when we think about all these levels of coping skills, we have to develop it in a level of alphabetical, okay? So when we're talking about levels of alphabetical coping skills and being able to look at it from a mindful point of view and being able to look at the levels and layers of things that should help us to be able to cope, we have to think about reducing anger. We need to go and get to a level of anger management, reducing the level of coping that is not healthy for us, and then on top of that, dealing with the anxiety of that. And when we talk about coping with the anxiety and the upset, we're talking about a low layer of professionally finding out, hey, what's going on with me? So we have to think about extreme anxiety that can inhibit our daily life, and we think about practicing deep breathing, facing our fears, and then seeking opportunities to stretch your mind and mental capacity. And then we're talking about eating nutritiously. We're talking about seeking professional help, and then on top of that, exercise, diet, and being triumphant in doing so. So with that being said, I want you guys to understand it from that point of view. And then on top of that, there's a level of fear-mongering, crazy make, and then we're talking about a level of making it better. And then on top of that, we're talking about comfort zones and changing from a discomfort to a level of comfort. So I wanted to talk about that right quick, and we're talking about a level of development and impact of that. So when we're talking about self-development and coping skills, we're talking about ways to welcome changes for the better. And even small steps can help us to our dreams and our goals. And then to be able to keep a journal and then be able to move your body. You know, sometimes talk with people who are outside parties and give you perspective of things, like calling your parents or calling someone outside of your parents if you don't have support system that way. Playing with your kids, talking with your kids. You know, if you're a parent or on child rearing and things like that, taking good care of yourself in that manner. And then on top of that, practicing effective management and skills, and then on top of that, experiencing benefits of gratitude and being able to look at what you can be grateful for and doing daily affirmations and things like that. And then on top of that, being able to be in a layer of social development, staff and program development when it comes to personal level of dealing with corporations, and then on top of that, reducing the stress from dealing with problematic companies. And then spread the sunshine all around you. And then plant something and watch it grow. And then on top of that, work to resolve old hurts or upset and disputes and conflicts. And then focus on what makes you happy. Find your passion and things like that. And then allow yourself to dream. And then create a life that you want. And then on top of that, deal with corporations that you want that aren't grossly negligent, misconduct, or levels of advice and this corporate gaslighting. And then live a good life that you deserve. So when we think about those different things, those are small mechanisms to cope. And then on top of that, to begin to look at it, if you can't cope and you need help with it, then you have to look at that levels and layers of small changes with big impact. So when we're talking about small layers with big impact, we're talking about small layers of doing things so you don't sweat the small stuff. So when we think about the big is impact in our life is, you know, waking up 10 minutes earlier, stretching, meditating, having a healthy levels of layers of telling someone what's going on, and then finding a way to conflict resolute. And then on top of that, sit up and take a walk sometimes, take a breather. And then on top of that, continue to work. Continue to work at the different things that can make a big impact and bring a level of change behavior and change response behavior. And then we talk about those levels of dialectical brain training and then CBT training if you're dealing with trauma, PTSD, and things like that. Let me see if there's anything else I want to talk about. So let's go through the alphabet of management and coping skills. Ask for help. Begin to look at aromatherapy, art. Look at the attending an event or things like that. Then look at athletics. You look at different things I'm picking out from the alphabet. So if you're going to go to B, breathe slowly. Begin to be attentive. Then on top of that, go to C. You think about going and calling a friend, collecting your thoughts, chat with your friends. Begin to calm techniques, learning how to be the majesty of being calm and staying calm. D, deep breathing exercises. Then, you know, go and take a long drive. Or if you have to take a break, then sit there and say to your people, hey, I'm going to take a break during the day, and I'm just going to sit there and take a quick downtime. I'm going to sit down and think about what I'm doing, and then I'm going to respond appropriately. Just give me a moment. Then we go into the next of the alphabet. So I'll put this up for you guys to be able to see. So I want you guys to understand that you can go all the way through the alphabet and you can begin to zone out at Z, or you can begin to look at the levels of yelling to a pillow when you get home. You have to think about, talk to a friend, take time by yourself, you know, take deep breaths, take a shower, take a nap. You know, talk it out. Do things that can reduce the stress to help you cope and manage. So those are part of the things. You need, you know, a long layer of stopping and thinking about things. Stop, relate, and release. Then you think about, you know, speak up. Separate yourself from the chaos and disorder. Sometimes it may be the corporation you, it's the end of the era. So when you think about those different things, you look at the time of quickly removing that stressor or questioning the feelings that you have. And then on top of that, you got to look at maybe helping someone else with a problem or, you know, hang out with a friend. You know, when you think about levels of making a plan, you think about make some food or meditate, you know, do things like that. So once you start doing those different things in the alphabet of coping, then you have a level of coping skills and mechanism that helps you. And then on top of that, count to 10. Then think about, you know, chat with a friend and use the calming techniques on top of meditation. There you go. So with that being said, I wanted to bring you guys out of here and then begin to understand the levels and layers of how to cope and how to cope efficiently. And then on top of that, begin to look at the suggestions that I'm giving you. Write in a journal. Take a deep breath. Make a list. Listen to music or play an instrument. Check about your thoughts. Let yourself cry. Express your emotions appropriately. Being involved in a club or activity. Eating properly. Getting enough sleep. You know, the things like getting a massage. Do your hair or your nails. You know, little things like that. Research doing something that you like doing. And then on top of that, stay organized and then stay clean or have a hobby or something like that and use positive affirmations. That really helps. And then begin to look at things at that level of our lives develop our styles and then on top of that, ways of responding. So we think about difficult solutions and we think about what are called coping skills and then, you know, negative and positive and taking a negative and turning it to a positive. And then negative coping skills are unhealthy ways to respond. So therefore, at that point in time, you don't want to get to a point of smoking, drinking, or under the influence of anything else. And then you want to look at not zoning out to the point that you have to do that unless you really have to because you're going to have to keep yourself from responding to the person inappropriately. And then on top of that, a level and layer of what I call mechanisms to help you to begin to look at problem solving and prevent problems from surfacing or resurfacing or drop down some of those things and begin to look at what you need to work out. And with that being said, in closing, we have to think about things to remember here. We have to think about positive coping takes practice. It takes about 30 to 60 minutes a day of practice and on a new skill and learning that. And the coping skills don't just solve your problems, but they begin to automatically kick in when you're upset. And you begin to go look at it and find your coping skill mechanism that's your go-to that helps you to stay calm and the majesty of being calm and keeping track of what works for you. And then on top of that, to inform your family and friends how you plan to go about your level of stress reducers, and then on top of that, if it's them, then going to levels of layers of therapy, or if it's not them, then you have to talk about intimate partner violence, or if you're not dealing with that, you're dealing with a bad marriage, and you just really want to divorce a toxic person, then you have to do a level layer of that and do it on repeat, and then to strengthen your coping skills and resiliency. So that's it for today. Thank you guys for attending the live. I do appreciate it, and I'm going to take you guys on out of here. Thank you so much.